KSPK, Walsenburg, Alamosa, and Trinidad, Southern Colorado's best country music. It's 10 o'clock.
Good morning, and welcome to Trinity Lutheran Church in Alamosa. We're glad you tuned in today. Trinity Lutheran is located at 52 El Rio Drive in Alamosa, Colorado. Pastor Jason Cody and the congregation at Trinity Lutheran welcome you to join them every Sunday, in person or right here on KSPK. And now, let's take you live to this morning's worship service with Pastor Jason Cody.
Good morning. The Lord's blessings to everybody in Christ. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Truly is a blessing to be gathered together. We welcome those who are tuned in on the radio this morning as well, and wish the Lord's blessings to you too. You'll notice in your bulletin today that, and there's always some explanations of different parts of the church service, just to kind of refresh our memory on why we do what we do in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. But today there's a few different ones that strike to a different point about what God is doing with our church service and our liturgy, and how he's teaching us and he's forming habits through the gifts that he gives us, that we might carry those out as redeemed people to the rest of the world. So pay attention to those this morning in your bulletin as we go through the service today. We're glad that you could make it, and we know the Lord will bless us according to his promises this morning. Our service begins today with hymn number 483. With high delight, let us unite, and we do invite you on the last hymn, or on the last verse of that hymn, to please stand on the last verse if you're able. Let's sing. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our help is in the name of the Lord. If you, O Lord, kept a record of sins, O Lord, who could stand? Since we are gathered to hear God's word, call upon him in prayer and praise and receive the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ in the fellowship of this altar, let us first consider our unworthiness and confess before God and one another that we have sinned in thought, word, and deed, and that we cannot free ourselves from our sinful condition. Together as his people, let us take refuge in the infinite mercy of God, our Heavenly Father, seeking his grace for the sake of Christ and saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Almighty God, have mercy upon us, forgive us our sins, and lead us to everlasting life. Amen. Almighty God, merciful Father, in holy baptism you declared us to be your children, and gathered us into your one holy church, in which you daily and richly forgive us our sins and grant us new life through your Spirit. Be in our midst, enliven our faith, and graciously receive our prayer and praise through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Would you join us now in our responsive introit this morning from Psalm 37. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not yourself over the one who prospers in his way. For they will soon fade like the grass and wither like the green herb.
Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and befriend faithfulness.
Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart.
Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in him and
you will die. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, now, and will be forever. Amen. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not yourself over the one who prospers in his way. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O God, the strength of all who put their trust in you, mercifully grant that by your power we may be defended against all adversity. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated. Our Old Testament reading for today, the seventh Sunday after the Epiphany, comes from the book of Genesis in the 45th chapter and is a section of the story of Joseph. Quick recap, if you don't know or remember Joseph's story, but when Joseph was young, his brothers despised him for multiple reasons and decided to get rid of him. And they did so by taking him out to kill him. But thankfully, his brother, Reuben, saved the day and kept Joseph from being killed. But instead, they ended up selling him to tradesmen and sold him into slavery. And then he traveled as a slave to Egypt. And there in Egypt, God raised him up, second only to Pharaoh. The account this morning is when Joseph's brothers are forced back into Egypt looking for food during a great famine, which God had prepared Egypt for through the hands and wisdom of Joseph. And now the brothers are before him, and he's alive and well and in control. We begin in verse 3 of Genesis 45. Joseph said to his brothers, "I am Joseph. Is my father still alive?" But his brothers could not answer him, for they were dismayed at his presence. So Joseph said to his brothers, "Come near to me, please." And they came near. And he said, "I am your brother Joseph, whom you sold into Egypt. And now, do not be distressed or angry with yourselves because you sold me here. For God sent me before you to preserve life. For the famine has been in this land these 2 years, and there are yet 5 years in which there will be neither plowing nor harvest. And God sent me before you to preserve for you a remnant on earth and to keep alive for you many survivors. So it was not you who sent me here, but God. He has made me a father to Pharaoh and lord of all his house and ruler over all the land of Egypt. Hurry and go up to my father and say to him, 'Thus says your son Joseph, God has made me lord of all Egypt. Come down to me, do not tarry. You shall dwell in the land of Goshen, and you shall be near me, you and your children and your children's children and your flocks and herds and all that you have. There I will provide for you, for there are yet 5 years of famine to come, so that you and your household and all that you have do not come to poverty. And now your eyes see, and the eyes of my brother Benjamin see, that it is my mouth that speaks to you. You must tell my father of all my honor in Egypt and of all that you have seen. Hurry and bring my father down here.' Then he fell upon his brother Benjamin's neck and wept, and Benjamin wept upon his neck, and he kissed all his brothers and wept upon them. After this, his brothers talked with him." This is the word of the Lord. Our epistle lesson this morning from 1 Corinthians chapter 15, the apostle tells us more about the resurrection of the body. We begin in verse 21. "For as by a man came death, by a man has come also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, so also in Christ shall all be made alive. But each in his own order, Christ, the first fruits, then at his coming, those who belong to Christ. Then comes the end when he delivers the kingdom to God the Father after destroying every rule and every authority and power. For he must reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet. The last enemy to be destroyed is death. Why am I in danger every hour? I protest, brothers, by my pride in you, which I have in Christ Jesus our Lord, I die every day. What do I gain if, humanly speaking, I fought with beasts at Ephesus? If the dead are not raised, let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. Do not be deceived. Bad company ruins good morals. Wake up from your drunken stupor, as is right, and do not go on sinning, for some have no knowledge of God. I say this to your shame. But someone will ask, 'How are the dead raised? With what kind of body do they come?' You foolish person, What you sow does not come to life unless it dies. And what you sow is not the body that is to be, but a bare kernel, perhaps of wheat or some other grain. But God gives it a body as he has chosen, and to each kind of seed its own body. For not all flesh is the same, but there is one kind for humans, another for animals, another for birds, and another for fish. There are heavenly bodies and earthly bodies, but the glory of the heavenly is of one kind, and the glory of the earthly is of another. There is one glory of the sun, and another glory of the moon, and another glory of the stars, for stars differ from star in glory. So is it with the resurrection of the dead. What is sown is perishable. What is raised is imperishable. This is the word of the Lord. We invite the congregation to stand now for our Alleluia verse and the reading of the Holy Gospel. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 6th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said, "But I say to you who hear, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who abuse you. To one who strikes you on the cheek, offer the other also. And from one who takes away your cloak, do not withhold your tunic either. Give to everyone who begs from you, and from one who takes away your goods, do not demand them back. And as you wish that others would do to you, do so to them. If you love those who love you, what benefit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. If you do good to those who do good to you, what benefit is that to you? For even sinners do the same. And if you lend to those from whom you expect to receive, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners to get back the same amount. But love your enemies and do good and lend, expecting nothing in return, and your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High, for he is kind to the ungrateful and the evil. Be merciful, even as your Father is merciful. Judge not, and you will not be judged. Condemn not, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your lap. For with the measure you use it, it will be measured back to you." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Would you join us now in confessing our faith to the words of the Nicene Creed? I believe in one God,
the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and all things visible and and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge all the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the spoke thy prophets, and I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Please be seated. Would you join us now in singing our sermon hymn? It's hymn 851, Lord of Glory, You Have Bought Us. Let's sing together. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. In our gospel reading this morning, our Lord presses us on toward the goal of his teaching. It was hard not to preach on Joseph from Genesis. I really love that story. And it is a gorgeous story, but our Lord's words this morning, well, they're difficult to deal with. They're challenging beyond challenging. I mean, we have to ask questions when we read this text, when we hear a text like this read from Luke chapter 6. Why? I think this is the question, at least, that comes to my heart. Why make it seemingly impossible, Lord? Some have even called this section, some scholars have even called this section of Luke's gospel, Jesus' impossible ethic. Did you hear during the reading the kind of things that he commands of us? He said this, verse 27 and following, he said, love your enemies. Now we've heard it a lot in our lives, so when we hear it, it just sometimes glances off, you know, flies over the top. But if we really stop and think about what he's saying, love your enemies. Do good, he says, to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who abuse you. I ask myself, but I'd ask all of you also this morning, just those few things that Jesus said, how's that going for you? And that's not all. He goes on and says this, turn the other cheek to the one who strikes you. If someone wants your coat, give them your shirt. Also, when we really focus on the teaching of our Lord this morning, I wondered to myself, if this was a test, you know, like you'd get at school or something with grades, I wonder if I could even hope for a D minus on this test. How about you? Give to everyone that begs, he says. And we struggle with those words, don't we? As we go about our days and we see people begging. Don't demand your stuff back if someone takes it. I'm only laughing because this is like, wow. Well, isn't that what it means to have stuff? Right? That nobody should take it? And if they take it, don't we... I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, guys, but don't we say, like, hey, give me my stuff back. Why do you have it? Am I the only one that feels like this teaching is unreachable for us to keep? I mean, isn't it the exact definition of an enemy that... they're against us, and how could we love them? If somebody hates you, how could we do good to them? Wouldn't we just avoid them? If someone strikes you, you're supposed to just take it? I mean, I kind of think like, you know, don't shoot the messenger on this one, but yeah, that's what he said. You're supposed to just take it. What if they strike you with words? What if they strike you with hands, with fists? What if they strike you with terrible false accusations? You know, the way that we usually go about the opposite of this is worth mentioning for a moment. The way we usually get back at those who hurt us, because many of us have learned to play nice and not actually react, right? But when we're hurt and frustrated, we still find little ways to get back at people, don't we? I mean, I think the technical word for this is passive aggressive. We'll find a way to slip in a snide comment or something, just, you know, just to kind of even the score up for us just a little bit. Our normal view stands in quite contrast to Jesus' teaching this morning. Normally we think, let that beggar go to work. We're quick to put Bible verses behind that too. My enemy? No, I'll just pretend like they don't exist. Ghost them. Done with them. And hit me? Are you going to hit me? I'll pop you back, right? An eye for an eye will cry out from the scriptures. A tooth for a tooth, that's what the Bible says. That's the kind of justice we stand for. That is, until we're the ones that need mercy. And then all of a sudden, we're not so quick to judge. We're not so quick to seek vengeance. We wish somebody would show us grace. But what Jesus is doing here with all of this, the goal of all of this, his teaching, the goal of it is here within this text this morning. It's right here in Luke 6. It's only accessible by faith, what Jesus is saying. Because faith has us, you, me, and everybody who believes, actually trusting what Jesus says to us today. Actually looking for a way to put his words and his teaching into our lives and into practice in our lives. But it seems such an impossible epic. So what's he getting at? He's teaching us these things with a goal in mind for us. Okay, if you don't hear anything else I said so far, hear this. He's teaching us these things with a goal in mind for us. A destination that he's driving us toward with his teaching. And you know what the destination is? It's himself. It's Jesus. That's the destination he's pushing us towards. His mercy, his forgiveness, his motivation, and his spirit. These are the teachings of the Lord. We can take them or we can leave them. But what Jesus is doing here is simple. His teachings point out this main and overarching point. You ready for it? Stop justifying your actions. Stop justifying our actions. Just stop. Would we think an all-knowing God doesn't know how we're going to hear these texts and how we're going to understand them and how impossible his teaching is going to feel to us? He does know. And that's the exact point. He knows that when faith inspires us to take these teachings to heart, that it's in our lack of ability to keep them that we'll find a good reason to try to justify ourselves. When we see how short we fall of what he's saying, we go into, oh, I don't know, self-righteous fix-it mode, and we try to find a way that it's okay that we don't obey Jesus. That's what we do. That's the game that we play. We say, well, maybe he wasn't, you know, he didn't really mean it. You know, he really means it. I'm talking to myself too right now. He really means it. We try to explain it away and justify ourselves. So he amps it up. And he does this in multiple places in the scripture. He'll amp it up. There's no sugarcoating here, right? He just says it how it is. Why is he doing it that way? Well, he wants us to see He wants us to really see and think about and inwardly digest this reality. You're wrong. I'm wrong. He wants us to know. This text is some of the harshest law in the entire scripture. It really is. When we hear his teaching, we'll either collapse under its weight and throw up our hands and say, I don't want to do this. I can't do this even, Lord. Or we'll begin to look for loopholes in it and ways in which we can justify ourselves and sort of make it work. Because it's harsh, it's law. And it pushes the point of all the law that's given in the Bible, because the law is limited in that sense, right? The law can only really accomplish two things. It can only show us our sin and the way our sinful nature is condemned, or it can make us self-righteous and have us thinking that we're playing the part, thinking that we're keeping the rules, thinking that we're okay because we did this, that, and the other. That's all the law can really pull off. So which of us this morning have his words from the Gospel of Luke convicted? And which of us started calculating on how we could figure out how to deal with this text? Based on our lives, based on what we've done or what we're going to do. And the most amazing part about all of this, friends, is it's incredible because it's actually really, really good news, even though it doesn't sound like it at first. It leads us by faith to absolute honesty before our Lord. It leads us to that destination of where Jesus wants us to land, where he wants us to be, to a whole life. See, when we read these things, our whole life has to change, or we have to ignore it. But when we read it and our life changes, it becomes a life every single day of two things: repentance and forgiveness. Brothers and sisters in Christ, only by Christ's life, only by his doings, only by his words and his cross and his resurrection do you or I stand justified before God. Only by him. He did that for you, and he did it for me. Because he knew who we are, and he knew how we take his word and try to achieve something for ourselves by it, try to figure out the loopholes and make ourselves okay by our own lives and doings. And so he loves us so much that this morning he puts us in a position that we cannot wiggle out of with this text. You're right, Lord. By your words and your teaching, we are guilty. But it's the best thing ever. It's the most amazing thing, because in it we can be honest. When we hear his teaching, we can say, Lord, I hear you, but I can't do it. And then all of a sudden, we're needy. We need Jesus. It leads us to that reality. And when we need him, we need him. We don't like being in need, but when we see we need Jesus, it's really great news. You know why? Because we have him. This is why Jesus goes to the cross. This is why he dies. If I could do this life, or you could do this life good enough, then we've made the cross something that, what, is insufficient or doesn't even matter. We've made it useless. Here's another amazing part, last one, maybe the most incredible actually, that this giving up on you being somebody encourage a lot of pastors quite often when I talk to them. I say, hey, you know what? Being a pastor isn't about who it makes you. The quicker we learn that as pastors, the better off we are. But I'll say it also is true for all of us in our Christian faith. Being a Christian isn't about who being a Christian makes you. Yuck, flush it. Being a Christian is about Christ. It's about Jesus, and it's only about Jesus. If we could get that sin-sick thought out of our head, right? Like, oh, how does this make me if I'm a Christian? How great am I? Ooh, how great am I? Eww. Just want to run away from that, you know? This giving up, yeah, I said giving up. Give up. Fall headlong onto Christ and what he accomplished for you. Give up and finally say, you're right, Lord. I'm not good enough. Even for 1 second, I don't measure up. And your word shows me I'm the problem. Seeing the reality of how opposite we are to Jesus' teaching. Giving up on our self-righteousness and our self-justifying quests. And just saying, I can't do it. I need some serious help if I'm ever going to be the person Jesus wants me to be. And this is what's so incredible. That living a life of repentance and forgiveness, Christ to us, is actually the absolute only way, and I mean the only way, that you'll ever be able to do what he's bringing you to do. That you'll ever be, and I'll ever be, anything at all is in Christ through his gifts. Repentance and forgiveness, by those things he changes our hearts. He makes them soft again, not a heart of stone. So admit that we're weak and needy. It feels awful and miserable to us. But in regard to God, it's our salvation in disguise. That when it comes to our relationship with God, we are needy. And look at the cross real quick with me this morning. You know what? The cross, it looked miserable and weak too. But by it, Jesus conquered and won for you life and forgiveness and heaven and every other blessed gift. It looked like he lost, but he ended up winning. And admitting that we're needy and that we need Christ to make this work feels like we lose, but it ends up being our victory. Because of the one who died for us. God fulfilled these things that he teaches us this morning. Jesus fulfilled them. And he did it for you. And by his work, by the repentance and the forgiveness of sins that he pours out on us through his word, and by hearing his hard teachings, he will conform us to the image of his Son. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, may the peace of God that passes all understanding keep our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. We now come to the time in our service for our prayer of the church. Our response for prayers this morning is, hear our prayer. Let us pray for the whole church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. O Lord, your servant Joseph endured hardship and struggle, yet he believed it would come to good. Give us such tested faith and bring all things to completion according to your purposes in Christ. For he has brought us hope and life to the world. Lord, in your mercy, preserve and unite your church, O Lord. Bring to an end her earthly divisions, which grieve you and us. Give her the true unity of doctrine and faith by your word. Bless and sustain our leaders in our synod, in our district, and in our circuit, and in this congregation. Lord, in your mercy. Almighty God, your Son, our Lord, commanded us to love our enemies, do good to those who hate us, and pray for those who persecute us. We ask you, by your gracious visitation, that you lead our enemies to true repentance, and to have the same love, and to be of one accord, and to share one mind and heart with us. And Lord, that you'd help us to hear your teachings as things we need to work at, but Lord, not to gain anything from you, but because you've done everything for us and your whole church on earth. Lord, in your mercy, merciful God, give us guidance amidst the changes and chances of this mortal life. Deliver us from our doubts, from the paralysis of fear. Let us know our Lord Jesus Christ and the power of his resurrection with joy, that we may not surrender to anxiety or to despair. Lord, in your mercy. Righteous Lord, uphold all civil authority and those responsible for the welfare of our nation, state, and community. Help them steadfastly pursue the cause of justice and protect life from its beginning to natural end. Lord, guard all the first responders, the police and firefighters, the EMTs, the doctors, the nurses, and those who defend us here and abroad. Lord, be with them. Strengthen them, guide them, protect them. We ask, Lord, in your mercy. Amen. Heavenly Father, according to your will, grant healing to the sick and those who are in need this day. We name before you this morning from the altar Sandy Cody, Jim Schrader, Dick Greitz, Bob Phillips, Larry Reinbarger, Susan St. Cyr, the family of Gary and Joette Iser, Rob Miller, Rupert Gallegos, Ella Gonzalez, Lori Hauser, Donna Ford, Debbie Ford, Carolyn Geary, Betty Gray, Sandy Santa Stephen, Betty Patton, Sonny Rumler, Don Hermanson, and all those that we name silently on our hearts at this time. Lord, grant them patience and endurance and strength, and crown their days with your mercy, we pray. Lord, in your mercy. We give thanks for the gift of this blessed sacrament, O Lord. Give us a right heart as we prepare to eat and drink Christ's true body and blood, that by it we would be equipped to love you above all and our neighbors as ourselves. Lord, in your mercy. Lord God, Heavenly Father, we confess that we are poor, miserable sinners with no good in us. Our hearts and our flesh and blood are corrupted by sin, and we never are without sinful desires in this life. Therefore, we implore you, forgive us our sins. Let your Holy Spirit so cleanse our hearts this day that we would love your word, abide by it, by your grace, and be saved forever. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. We now come to the time for our tithes and offerings this morning. As the offerings are collected and presented this morning, we'll enjoy an instrumental from our organist. Amen. If you've been joining us on the radio this morning, we thank you for tuning into our service. We wish you the Lord's blessings as He continues to lead you and guide you according to His word. If you're gathered in the sanctuary this morning, we invite you to turn over to page 10 in your bulletin, and please stand if you're able for our service of the sacrament. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give Him thanks and praise.
It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty and Everlasting God, for the countless blessings you so freely bestow on us and all creation. Above all, we give thanks for your boundless love shown to us when you sent your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, into our flesh and laid on him our sin, giving him into death that we might not die eternally. Because he is now risen from the dead and lives and reigns to all eternity, all who believe in him will overcome sin and death and will rise again to new life. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of all creation, for you have had mercy on us and given your only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. As the glory of your presence once filled the ancient temple, so in the incarnation of your Son, Jesus Christ, you manifested the fullness of your glory in human flesh. We give you thanks that in his most holy supper, you reveal your glory to us. Grant us faithfully to eat his body and drink his blood so that we may one day behold your glory face to face. Hear us as we pray in his name and as he's taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he'd given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also he took the cup after supper, and when he'd given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Thank you for joining our service today at Trinity Lutheran Church in Alamosa, Colorado. We hope this worship service has been a blessing to you. If you would like to support our ministry, please visit our website by searching Trinity Lutheran Church Alamosa. On our website, click the link for Apple or Android devices to upload our app to your phone or tablet. Our app has many resources to help you. Thank you, and may the Lord bless you this week.
KSPK, Walsenburg, Alamosa, and Trinidad, Southern Colorado's best country music. It's 11 o'clock.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packard. Sunday Mass at New York St. Patrick's Cathedral, and around the world, Catholics offering a special prayer for Pope Francis, the 88-year-old pontiff remaining hospitalized in critical condition after suffering a new respiratory crisis. Concern